I have some information here about our speaker, and it is Brian Mullins, who is with World Vision, and you saw the short video. Brian's going to come and share God's word with us and a message this morning, and I trust that you will be blessed by it. I have a few things to share about him. I won't take too much time. As an area worker for World Vision, Ryan has helped 8 churches become global partners, partnering with poverty-stricken communities in different parts of the world, like Bolivia, Colombia, Honduras, Nepal, Ghana, and in the West Bank. And the purpose of those partnerships is to bring sustainable transformation. And he's excited, Brian is excited to see what First Baptist in Mount Forest might be able to do. Brian is married to Lynn. He has 2 daughters, Maddie, who's here today, and Shania, I hope I pronounced that right. They call Cambridge their home, and he leads worship ministry of Celebrate Recovery at a Forward Church. And so we invite Brian to come and share the word of God in his message this morning.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, you can do better than that. Good morning, everyone. That's much better. It's good to be with you this morning. Thanks for the warm welcome. It's my first time in Mount Forest. Can you believe that? I think we drove up from Cambridge this morning, and I think I've been all around Mount Forest, but I've actually been here. So thank you for a warm welcome today. Drove up Highway 6 and looked at the weather last night, and I said, you know, I'm just not sure we're going to make it. But the roads were just damp, so no issues whatsoever, and we're glad to be here. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Very familiar words to us, I hope, this morning. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Jesus says these words, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Father, we ask that you would be with us this morning as we look at your word together. Father, as we consider its challenge to us, the claim it would make on our life, Father, we ask that you would help us to understand it and to apply it to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, confession time for you today. How many of you put up lights on your house at Christmas? Yeah, most of you do. How many of you leave them up all year? You just won't admit. Okay, I see one. Thank you for your honesty. Appreciate that. Yeah, we go through every year wondering what we're going to do for lights. And I usually go to my garage and I try to find my my bundle of lights. And they usually come out kind of like this, kind of a tangled mess. Any of your lights kind of look like this when you find them in mid-December, I guess, when we go to put them up. Kind of a tangled mess, and guaranteed they're not lit. And so you've got to go through each one and test them to see which one's working and which one's not. And generally speaking, if you're like me, you just roll them back up in a ball and throw them in a bag and go buy new ones, right? At least Canadian Tire is kind of counting on you doing that. And that's what we do with our lights. You might be the sort of person that has your lights all in little baggies, kind of sorted by color and by wattage. If that's you, we can't be friends. Just so you know, we're a little crazy that way. But lights are just kind of the story of Christmas. And some cities have a tour of lights where you can drive through the community and see the lights on different houses. Every street has one house in particular that when they plug their lights in at night, all the street lights go dim. And everything kind of goes blacks out in the city because they use so much power for their lights. And lights are just an important part of our celebration. But think about light for a minute. Light is an amazing force. Light travels at 185,000 miles per second. It goes around the Earth 7.5 times per second. So that's pretty fast. In fact, there's nothing more powerful in the universe than light. And so it's no wonder to me that light factors into the Christmas story, which we have just finished celebrating. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. So in a world that is so dark, we find this light that brings illumination to our world and that brings light to our world. In John chapter 8, Jesus speaks. He said, he spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then as we just read in Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're the light. So he says, I am the light. And then he says, you are the light. We are Christ lights. And not just at Christmas time, but all year round. Light is an amazing thing. It does at least three things. I'm sure it does more. But light gives us direction, doesn't it? Light illuminates things for us. And so we find in Psalm 119:105, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet. So that's kind of short-term guidance. And he said, your word is a light to my path for the long term. I remember when I was 17 years old, my first car was a 1976 Honda Civic. And I was quite proud of that little car, a little two-door. And of course, as all kids do, you modify your cars. And so I went to Canadian Tire and I bought two sets, not just one set, but two sets of driving lights and stuck them under the bumper. And of course, drive down the highway and you turn these driving lights on and your high beams. And it's just an amazing thing. And I remember one year we drove to Florida, a friend of mine and I, and coming home from Florida, we're on the highway. I also had a CB radio in my car. Anybody want to admit to having a CB radio in your car? Breaker, you know. So I've got the CB, and my buddy and I are in the car, and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. We're driving home from Florida, and I was coming up behind these two tractor trailers, and I could hear their conversation on the radio, and one of them said to the other, there's a roller skate coming up behind us with his high beams on. And I quickly realized that I was the roller skate, and he was talking about me, so I turned the lights off. And then I got on my radio, and I said, sorry, sir, because we're Canadian, so we apologize. I said, sorry for my high beams, I didn't mean to, you know, hurt your eyes. And he said, it's a shame that you apologize, because I was looking forward to burning the paint off your trunk when you passed me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you pass me, and I'll show you. So we passed the trucks, and I'm probably a mile ahead of him. He turns on his lights, and it was like a sunrise behind my car. I mean, literally, I had to put my sunglasses. It was just so bright. Light just illuminates, doesn't it? And there's nothing better than being able to see where you're going when you're driving your car. So light gives illumination and direction to us. Light also dispels fear, doesn't it? One of the major design flaws in most houses is that when you go into your bedroom, the light switch is normally where? It's by the door. Where's your bed? It's usually 20 feet away, right? So you go into your room, and you have to turn off the light and then run through the dark to get to your bed. And you get into bed, and maybe not so much anymore for you adults. You would admit it if I asked you anyway, but some of us are still a little afraid of the dark. And I remember my grandmother's home in Pennsylvania where we would sleep in the third floor attic bedroom. And just that combination of street lights and trees outside would cast shadows on the wall, and we'd be terrified. And as soon as you turned on a light, everything was fine. And light has a way of dispelling fear. Back in 2008, I was in New Zealand. And I'm sure many of you have been whitewater rafting. Have any of you been blackwater rafting? Blackwater rafting is actually whitewater rafting, but underground. And so they put you in a wetsuit, and you put a hard hat on, and a little light, and then they hook you up to this flying fox, which is a zip line, basically. And they give you a push. They turn off your light first, and they give you a push, and you're zip lining underground. Some of you are having like anxiety attacks already. So you're flying underground through this cave for about half a kilometer on a zip line underground, pitch black. And you're lying back, hanging, you know, by this flying through space underground, and you can see glowworms in the ceiling. It's the most surreal thing in the world. And as you come down toward the end of the zip line, you see a small light in the distance, and it's coming toward you faster and faster and faster, or you're going toward it, and there's a man there who grabs you and stops you, so you stop your descent underground. Those moments of darkness are absolutely terrifying, but nothing was nicer than seeing that light at the end of that tunnel and realizing that everything was going to be okay. So light gives us direction. Light dispels fear. Light also creates and sustains life. Do you realize that if it were not for sunlight, none of us would be here? If it wasn't for sunlight that creates that process of photosynthesis and plants can grow, we would have no life. Light is just an amazingly powerful thing. In fact, the only thing that light can't do is penetrate a solid object. And when you put a solid object in front of a light, what do you get? A shadow. And light cannot penetrate it, and a shadow is created. Jesus came as light. And Jesus calls us to be lights because there are shadows in our world that need to be dispelled. We live in a dark place. And you only have to listen to the news for 5 or 6 minutes to realize how dark our world actually is. And at World Vision, we're acutely aware of how dark the world can be and how important it is for us to be lights in this world. There are so many shadows that are dark that need light. In this glass, there's a little bit left. Clean water. I think I need some. This is liquid gold. In so many parts of the world, it's liquid gold. It's just incredible. Every year, 3 million people die from water-related diseases in developing countries. And the majority of these are women and children in rural, poor areas who lack access to safe water and to sanitation. Unclean water and poor sanitation are the second largest cause of death of children. Can you believe that? This water that we can get at any gas station, that comes freely from our taps, that we shower in every morning, that we use to flush our waste, is liquid gold in so many parts of the world. But there's a shadow of thirst where people can't get water to drink. There's a shadow of illiteracy. You and I probably take education for granted. Most of us went to school, kindergarten, public school, middle school, high school, college. We're well educated. But most of the world, or a lot of the world, does not have access to that kind of education. There are 774 million people in the world who can't read. 66% of them are female. In many parts of the world, if you're a boy, you're sent to school. If you're a girl, you're not. And so there's this discrimination on that basis. But there's a shadow of illiteracy. If you can educate a girl especially, you can reduce her risk of exploitation by 80%. But there's a shadow of illiteracy. There's a shadow of trafficking in our world. According to the United Nations, 2.5 million people are in forced labor. That includes sexual trafficking. And these are just the documented cases. 1.2 million of these are children. There's a shadow in our world of human trafficking. Last February, I had the opportunity to travel to Fortaleza, Brazil. Brazil's a good place to go in February. It's about 80 degrees all year round. So while it's freezing here, it's beautifully warm there. And you fly into Fortaleza, and it looks like Miami Beach, big high-rise towers. And you land at the airport, you go to your hotel, you get unpacked. And our mission there was to visit several projects that World Vision is involved in. Within about 10 minutes of leaving our hotel, we were in a slum area of Fortaleza. And actually, most of Fortaleza is like this. 2 to 3 gang-related deaths every day in this community of Fortaleza. And we drove into this community, and as we're driving through these narrow streets, burned-out cars, garbage everywhere, houses with no windows, we're driving through this community, and our guide says, if you look up on the rooftops, you'll see people watching us. And we did, and sure enough, there were people watching us. He said, they're waiting to see if your vehicle is worth being carjacked or not. So that made us feel pretty safe. And so we just kind of got all our gear and kind of hid everything away. And he said, when we get to the compound, he said, walk straight through the doors. Don't stop to take pictures. Just go straight through. And so we did it. And as the van pulled up to the compound, we got out of the van through the gates. And as we walked through the gates, there was just this oasis almost. Green plants, playgrounds, children running around. They had after-school programs for kids there. They had a nurse on staff. There was food for kids to eat. There was clean water. And it was just this little oasis, this little pocket of heaven in this really, really, really dark place. And a few hours later, we left. And as we were driving out, the van pulled over near the highway. And our guide told us to get out of the van. And so we did. And there was this long plywood fence, probably about the length of the back of the room here. And he said, no, I'd like you to stand beside this plywood fence. So we stood beside the fence, and he said, if you were to come back here at 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, he said, this is where the girls come. And they line up along this fence, and truck drivers come off the highway, and they pick these girls for exploitation. And so I'm standing with my friends beside this fence and realizing that my Madeline is 15 and Shania is 18, but for the grace of God, Had they not been born in Canada, if they had been born in Brazil, they would be in every bit as much trouble as so many girls in Fortaleza, Brazil, are being trafficked. And it just struck me again that there's a lot of the world that lives in this shadow of trafficking. And that's why we need light. We need people who are willing and able to be what Jesus said they should be, to be the light of the world as he was our light. We need to be the light of the world. John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And get this, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The good news in this passage is that all of these shadows and all of this darkness can be dispelled. It can be dispelled with light. If you and I are willing to be the light, it's amazing what God can do through us. And I don't know what your world looks like. Even though Christmas is generally a pretty happy time, you've probably all seen some darkness this Christmas. It's not a happy time for everybody. And we've even seen in our neighborhood and amongst our friends that there's some darkness. And the opportunities that we have to be the light, to be Christ lights, to dispel the darkness, to dispel the shadows. It's incredible. The power that we have, the ability we have to cast away those shadows and to bring light into dark places is amazing. And to me, this is where it gets exciting, because in my responsibilities as a church advisor for World Vision, we get to come alongside churches and help them to bring light into dark places in their own communities, but also around the world. I don't know, how many of you sponsor a child through World Vision? Yeah, look at how many of you. Not uncommon. Canadians sponsor more than 500,000 children, and we're so grateful for your trust and for that partnership. But World Vision works, people ask me all the time, you know, what happens to our sponsorship money, and when does a child stop being sponsored? And World Vision basically will find a dark place in the world. We'll find a community that has nothing, literally. So that could mean no water, no agriculture or food, no education, no medical care, absolutely nothing. It tends to be in a rural place away from a city. And we go into that community and we assess their needs. So we get to know the leadership, we get to know the people there. And with them, we develop a 5-year strategy. We ask them, where are the shadows? Where are the dark places? What are the things in your community that are keeping your community in poverty? And then we develop a 5-year strategy to address each of those needs. So it might be water, it might be agriculture and education. We develop a 5-year plan. And then we'll say, now find us 1,000 children in your community that we can find sponsors for. And so the village itself chooses the children that can be sponsored. And then World Vision starts funding that village right away. So a sponsorship is $39 a month. World Vision starts applying those funds to that village right away. So imagine, you know, what $30,000 or $35,000 can do in a rural village. And we start addressing their needs for clean water, for medical assistance, for education. And we start building this. It takes 10 to 15 years. And after 10 or 15 years, most communities are actually able to take care of themselves. They don't need our funding anymore. And so we go into these hard places and we partner. And then they take that back to us and they'll say, okay, now, Brian, you find us sponsors for these children. And so we host various events in churches and in the community to find sponsors for these kids. And it takes 10 or 15 years, but over time, we find that these communities can be lifted out of poverty and the darkness is dispelled. Last June, Tony Campolo spoke at our church in Cambridge, and it was quite amazing. As you walked into the foyer, you saw two big tables, and these tables had picture folders, which many of you have seen before. But all of these children, all of these picture folders, were from the same village in northern Cambodia. So I think we had about 150 picture folders on the tables outside of our church. And by the end of the service, by the end of the day, we had found 125 sponsors for 125 children in one village in northern Cambodia. So think about the impact that makes in that one community in northern Cambodia. So now when we go to church and we're having coffee before the service, I hear people talking about the letter they got from their sponsor child and the fact that they had gone on the website and they saw what was happening in that village and what was happening. And just an incredible opportunity to bring light to a very dark place. And that's what we get to do through World Vision. And that's what we get to do with churches, helping them find those places. So I'm excited to see what we can do here at First Baptist Church over time to help bring light to a dark place. And you'll be hearing more about this in the days ahead. But let me ask you this question this morning. How are you light in your world? How are you light? You know, we talk about these Christmas lights and how hard it is to find the one that doesn't quite work. And you twist them and you see, and let me see if I can track it down. Here's one. So you finally find it. And you plug it in and it lights up. And the amazing thing to me is that, you know, when you plug in that missing light and all the others light up behind it, you don't know the difference that can make in somebody's life. Just that one light, boy, you find it, and you can go from darkness to light, and it lights up the whole area around it, and you never know. You sponsor one child in Cambodia, and you bring light to her life, and all of a sudden, all the way down the line, you find that her family gets brighter, and her school gets brighter, and her neighborhood gets brighter, and she shares that light with somebody else. And before you know it, the whole community is full of light. Even here in Mount Forest, when you turn that light on in your community, in your neighborhood, and you think it's just one small thing that God has done for you to bring that light, but the light brightens up your home, and it brightens up your workplace, and it brightens up your street and your community, the whole village, the city, our province, our country, our world. That's what Jesus intended for that light to do, to dispel the darkness. So my challenge to you today is this. You can be a Christ light. You can be a light locally. What can you do this year? And it's a great day to think about that. What can you do this year to bring light to your part of the world? One small, simple thing, a simple act of kindness where you can bring light to your world. And then what can you do as a church to bring light globally to another place? Because we live in a dark world, but it's not a hopeless situation. We're seeing communities transformed as people bring the light of Christ into these neighborhoods. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for being the light. We thank you for coming to a dark, dark, dark world. And in that stable in Bethlehem, Lord, a light appeared. And as you lived your life among us and as you offered your life on a cross, Father, the light shone in the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it. And so, Father, in Jesus' name today, we claim the light. Father, we claim its victory over darkness. Lord, I don't know everyone here today. I don't know anyone here today, really, Father. I don't know their life, their situation. But I know, Father, that you can bring light into their world. And then, Father, take that light and use it to illuminate everything and everyone around them. Lord, my prayer for First Baptist Church is that it would be a beacon of light in a dark world. Lord, as people come through these doors, as they interact with folks here, Father, that they would see your light shine, that they would feel the warmth, the comfort, that they would find meaning and direction. Lord, that their fears would be dispelled. Lord, that they would be illuminated by you. Father, thank you for the light that you brought to my life so many years ago, and for the privilege that I have, Father, to be a light for those around me. And Father, as we head into 2015, Lord, I pray again that this church and everyone in it, Lord, would be a light, a Christ light, as you are the light of the world, Lord, that we would be lights in the world, bringing transformation. In Jesus' name, amen.